Welcome to the Monogamous Marriage Podcast. We're Kate and Liam, married bisexuals a decade into our non-monogamous journey.
We've been having sex with our friends for 10 years, and we're still madly in love with each other.
We're the authors of the Monogamous Marriage blog, where we've been overthinking sex and love since 2016. This podcast is the place where we process our sexual adventures in real time.
We are not experts, and nothing we say should be mistaken for professional advice. This show contains mature language and sexual content, so if you're under 18, it isn't for you. But if you're a fellow overthinker and you're not freaked out by unfiltered conversation, you're going to feel right at home.
Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. Our topic this month is erections.
Which is interesting because I am here and I do not have a penis, so I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do.
Well, I love the idea of you being here because you did offer for me to just do this episode on my own, as you've done a Girl Talk episode on your own in the past. But erections or erection problems generally happen in the context of sex. So there's another person who is affected by the situation and who is influencing the situation. So if you talk to a lot of men, their big concern is how they will be viewed by the women they are with,
at least in a heterosexual context.
Okay.
So what I want to do in this episode is really walk people through my story, which is, as I just pointed out, our story. And, you know, we're not having an expert on this episode who has studied penis physiology for decades and is going to tell us all the secrets, because there are places that you can go to get that kind of information. But what I think is often lacking is a vulnerable, open sharing of someone's real journey in this regard, because I have tried every possible solution to having a guaranteed erection to be able to perform the way I want to perform in a sexual situation. And I've been dealing with it for 20 years. At this point, I think I've literally tried every possible solution out there. And part of my story is, and I think a lot of guys can probably relate, that I had very little sexual opportunity when I was young and at my most virile. So I'm really hitting my stride at 60, and unfortunately, I don't have the physical capabilities to match my level of opportunity. So if at all possible, I'm going to do everything I can to be at my best now that I actually have the chance to do what I could only dream of when I was younger.
And let me just add that I think you should stay tuned to the end of this podcast, because although it is a story of struggle, I eventually do end up at a place where I find a solution for guaranteed rock-hard erections in every lifestyle setting. Anyway,
to jump right in, the story starts for me in 2002, and it is a morally problematic story because it starts in my previous marriage on the eve of having my first affair.
Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah. I was in a marriage, and we've talked about this on previous podcasts, with a wonderful person with whom I had almost nothing in common, including important elements of how we saw the world, but also on the sexual side. And I made a decision at about the age of 40 that I wanted to pursue a connection outside of my marriage. I didn't want to blow the whole thing up. I didn't want to cause that level of disruption to my children. But at the same time, I could not continue to say no to myself. So we're not going to get into a debate about the moral calculations I made, their rightness, wrongness, how easily they could be understood or misunderstood. It's just a fact. I was looking to have an affair. And on the eve of that first meetup, so I had met a woman and things looked good. She had met my criteria as being a nice, kind, sane person with whom I could be honest. And I can't remember what the situation was, but two nights before I was going to see her, I had an erection problem for the very first time.
Of course, I hear this story and I feel like, duh, of course you did. Because as you are on the eve of having an affair, you're going to be feeling some anxious feelings, mm-hmm. right? You're 40 years old. You have been with your wife since you were teenagers. And the thought of stepping out on her while you may have been able to explain it to yourself was no doubt causing some internal issues for you. So of course, you're going to have some struggles and some anxieties.
Yes. And I completely agree with that diagnosis. But I was in a situation where 2 days hence, I was going to be in front of someone looking to be my best self in bed. So yes, the timing suggests that it was almost all or all psychological, but I had to find a solution. And at that time, a lot of men will remember this. There were ads about that said men's clinic and all sorts of words like vitality and youthfulness. And I knew what they were suggesting, that this was a clinic where you could get that blue pill, Viagra. So I quickly made an appointment at this clinic and went there with a great sense of hope that I could resolve this problem, that I wasn't walking in to a totally failing performance.
So how did it go?
It was bizarre. So this clinic took their responsibilities seriously in a professional way, and their approach was to start by putting an injection into the penis of the patient. The purpose of that was to say, we need to see with this medication that provides a guaranteed erection if there are any neurological or vascular problems that are leading to this erection struggle. And so they put that in. It was the most painful experience of my life, maybe. So, and I'm mentioning this because the idea of injections comes up later in this episode. But I was just in shock. I felt like someone had shot a BB into the most sensitive part of my body. So, yeah.
You nice had to go through this just to get a prescription for Viagra?
Yes, because I'm at the mercy of the medical establishment at this stage, and they're saying to satisfy our sense of what it takes to make a proper medical judgment about your situation, we need to eliminate certain possibilities. So that's how they did it. Who was I to argue? I'm there thinking, I just need that blue pill. Tell me what you need me to do. Do you need me to jump up and down? Do you need me to run 5 miles? Or do you need me to take a BB pellet in my penis? Then I will do it. But of course, once they did that, I was in complete shock. And that injection did not work because my body responded as if I had been assaulted. So
they said, yep, your dick is broken.
No, they allowed
not that. You might be feeling anxiety because we just did something crazy to your body.
Yeah, my understanding is that it works for almost everybody. Maybe this guy put it in the wrong spot. I don't know. So anyway, they decided after all of that and after a psychological review that I was a good candidate for Viagra, which was probably a foregone conclusion. There's probably not a man who walked into that clinic in 2002 who didn't walk out with a prescription for Viagra. So I successfully jumped through the hoops that were required and got that prescription.
I'm surprised after giving you the injection and it not working that they didn't further investigate the physical structures of your penis before they gave you the pill.
Yeah, maybe it was my report of how much pain I was in, and maybe they see this out of 10% of patients. So anyway, they gave it to me.
All right. Well, I would say again that barring any actual physical problems with your penis, which I've experienced it, it's totally fine. Again, I would think that this confirms my hypothesis, which is you have a very powerful mind. They're sticking this injection into your penis, which for what was the story?
Yes, this particular drug had been tested and proven effective by inducing erections in comatose cats.
Right. Okay, so you're given this injection that can make even half-dead cats erect, and it doesn't work, but there's nothing physically wrong with you. So again, that just shows how your mind can overcome anything. If you're sitting there feeling like I'm scared and I'm in pain, you're not going to get hard. And so as we move forward through this story, The dots for me are so clearly connected. All of this relates to mental anxiety. It's not about a physical situation. It seems to be clear for me from the beginning, but maybe I'm just seeing what I want to see.
Well, it's interesting because my mind can overcome every medical intervention, as you said, but it can't overcome itself.
True.
So now I'm trying to trick myself into having an erection. So part of the appeal of a medication is not just what the medication has been proven to do. It's also, can its placebo potential convince me that it's going to work and overcome the skepticism built right into my mental circuitry? So anyway, I met this woman at a hotel. I had the pill and it did come through. And it set up in my mind a very powerful equivalency that if you want to guarantee an erection, medicine is going to be required, at least in a high-stakes situation.
Well, for you. There might be people who have less anxiety around these things, and that's not a true statement for them. Of course, we do need to throw in here that we are not medical professionals, and nothing you hear here should be taken for medical advice.
Yes, this is a story.
Okay.
The other thing that it brought up to me at this point was that if a woman wanted me to do 75 push-ups to make her happy, even though I had never done 75 push-ups before, I would be able to immediately drop down and give her 75 push-ups. But this mysterious process of how an erection is created, that is part neurological, part endocrinological, part psychological, I had no direct control of.
In fact, the more you try to control it, the less likely you are to be successful at controlling it.
Yes. So there you go. You get the frustration. So I had Viagra. I didn't need it with my ex-wife, but every time I was in an extramarital situation, which was high stakes, higher stress for me, I used it.
So you just made the connection right now between these extramarital situations that had high stakes and high anxiety. Mm-hmm. At the time, were you aware that the anxiety and the high stakes were part of the equation here? Or did you just think, I want to have a great experience because I only get to see this woman once a month or whatever? Do you remember how you explained it to yourself?
I really believed that there was a strong psychological element to this. Maybe even 100% psychological, but I also had a very practical problem to solve. And as an entrepreneur, I'm always looking at the practical, non-ideological solution to a problem. So I could say on one hand, yes, look at the timing. It's almost certain that it's a psychological issue. Yet I have to perform in 2 days. And I can't go on a decades-long journey to discover the hidden ways I subvert my own intentions at a deeply psychological level. So I am going to take the pill, and if it works, I'm going to continue to use it.
Okay. After Viagra, what came next?
Well, there was a problem with Viagra, and that is that Viagra works within a 4-hour window. But I eventually started to have problems with my ex-wife, which is predictable. I'm becoming more dependent on a medication. So now I'm wondering if I can make use of the pill to bolster my performance with her. The problem was that Viagra has a 4-hour window. So you take it, it takes 45 minutes to work, and then you have, according to medical science, 4 hours in which to have an erection. But the problem was, in my marriage, I could not predict within a 4-hour window when I was going to have sex, because the frequency curve for us looked a lot like nothing today, nothing tomorrow, nothing. And then all of a sudden she says, I'm ready. In some way, she signals, I'm ready. And if I take a pill, that 45 minutes could be too long and the moment might pass. So I discovered Cialis, and Cialis has a different time frame. That is, it's 36 hours of coverage. So I took Cialis with its 36-hour window. And you think, well, that'd be great. Anyone could predict within 36 hours when they're going to have sex. But again, that was not the case with me.
Because the problem wasn't the length of time the pill would work, but the lead time. I needed 45 minutes of notice, something I basically never got.
So then I discovered a new kind of Cialis, which is 5 milligrams daily. That is, you have that molecule in your bloodstream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now it doesn't matter when you're called upon, you will be able to perform because you don't have to make a prediction about when sex is going to happen.
So now in your nearly sexless marriage, you are taking a daily erectile enhancer.
Yes.
Interesting.
For the 2 days a month when we would have sex, because I couldn't tell when those 2 days would be. So I have a restless mind. I'm constantly looking for other solutions. And I came across something called yohimbine. So yohimbine is a very old solution to erection problems. In fact, my understanding is it's an African folk remedy that uses a molecule harvested from the bark of a particular tree. And it actually was investigated by Western medical practitioners. So I started taking yohimbine for a while on top of Cialis. That's the first time I had the idea of stacking medications. Okay, I have this underlying day-to-day solution, which is daily Cialis. Now I'm going to layer Yohimbine on top of that, which seems to have a different mechanism of action, and maybe that will be the solution. But as far as I could tell, as a relentless self-experimenter, it did not make any difference to my performance. So I moved on from that, and now we get up to the period where I meet you. So I am more excited about you sexually than any person I have ever been with, than any person I could have imagined being with in the past. And so, of course, I'm thinking, I want to be the most supportive individual to you. I want to be the most interesting person to you. But I also want to be the best sexual performer.
No pressure.
Yeah. My mind is a pressure factory when it comes to making an impression on someone that I care about. So we had an early interaction that wasn't all the way to sex. And of course, I had the daily Cialis in my system, but I had that little sense that things weren't working. And so now I decided that I needed to take another tack. Because maybe the problem wasn't with the mechanics of my erection, but with my libido, with my level of desire. And again, many of you will remember the commercials for low T, low testosterone. And I started to think, maybe that's been my problem. And of course, as soon as you start to read about it, a large percentage of men begin to see a marked drop in their testosterone levels at the age of 40.
And here you are, 10 years further down the line from that.
Yes, so
40
it's even
point.
Worse. Right. Yeah, in fact, how am I even getting up in the morning? So I go to see a practitioner locally in Canada, and he says, you know what? I could give you a prescription for testosterone, and you would immediately see improvements in your mood and your energy level, and yes, your sexual performance, but your levels don't qualify for intervention.
It's all in your head.
Yeah. So thanks, doctor, for telling me all the things it might be able to do to me that I will not get to experience because you're the gatekeeper and won't let me through.
Or because there's no medical reason to give you this treatment.
Yes. I'm not villainizing him. I get that he was trying to make the best decision he could based on his training, looking at my numbers. But I'm not the kind of guy that takes no easily.
Even from a medical professional.
Even from a medical professional.
Let's get a second opinion on that.
So I did. I went to a medical professional in the U.S. So we're in Canada. I traveled to the U.S.
Where you can pay for the answer you want.
Well, I went to a very top-end practitioner, so associated with the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland. And I shared with him all my numbers. And by the way, on that trip, I also saw a urologist. And I saw a psychologist, thinking that maybe they would have something to say. So I never gave up on the psychological aspect. But this doctor said, yeah, you're at the low end of normal, and it's not exactly a hard science in terms of this number warrants supplementation of testosterone and this number doesn't. He said, I'm comfortable giving you a prescription. So he gave it to me, and it was in the form of a gel. So Androgel was the name of the product, and you just rub it on your skin, and it wasn't an injection, which I was afraid that testosterone would involve an injection direct to the bloodstream. And I think I didn't want to do that, not only for the pain, but the way that it would make me feel like an intravenous drug user. So I was happy that it was just a gel that I could rub on. So I started doing that. And I remember we actually made a trip to New York, and I was told that the medication needed to be applied for days and days to build up to a therapeutic level in the bloodstream. So I started it a week before that trip. We were in New York in the backseat of a cab. I was with you. I was so turned on. Do you remember that mm-hmm. time?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember?
I think that's the first time I pulled your dick out in public.
Yeah, in the back of a cab in New York. So
I was trying to make a good impression in that early stage of our relationship.
On the taxi driver or on me?
Oh, both.
Yeah, that sounds like you, actually.
So.
Yeah, so I got very excited, and I thought, this is it. This is really helping. And that's actually when I began to keep the spreadsheet. So I've talked a lot of times about the fact that I have spreadsheeted every instance of sex that we've had since November 2012. And the reason I started that was so that I could track the dosage of testosterone gel with my sexual performance and see if I could find correlations. So I started to use the medication, but after that initial result, and by the way, I still use it to this day, but I never found the direct correlation between dosage and sexual performance or sexual interest. And this brought up something that was very concerning to me. And that was that all of these interventions were dealing with the mechanics of erection. But I also recognized that there was a problem with libido, with my interest in sex. And it had definitely changed over the decades. And none of these pills, the cream that I was putting on, was having an effect on my interest in sex. So it's almost like the performer side of me was so interested in appearing to be turned on that I was no longer in touch with the actual feeling of being turned on.
I get that. I mean, for men, you've got this outward sign of whether it's working or not, whether you're actually engaged or not. But I would say for women, there are lots and lots of times where we're just lying there, you know, you reach for the lube and you can make it work physically. But that sense of like, I'm here for this, my mind is willing, but my body is just not responding. That's a very common thing. So I would say you are not unique or alone in that.
Yeah. So my dream was that I was going to open the New York Times one morning and find out that a new medication was available that would actually induce desire in the subject and not just a rock hard erection. But that was not something that was available. And it is something that we've encountered later on that we're going to talk about in the second half of this conversation. But we'll get to that later. So I was thinking a lot about the psychological aspects of this journey that I was going through, of this struggle that I was having. So there were a few things that I tried. One of them was self-hypnosis. So there is an approach out of England called the Surtees method. And basically, it involves laying down, being relaxed, putting on headphones, closing the eyes, or even wearing a blindfold, and listening to a soothing voice talk to you about the naturalness and even the inevitability of your body's ability to create a rock-hard erection. And so I tried that with a lot of hope because, of course, I read all of the marketing material and they talked about the stunning instances where individuals have been completely delivered from total non-performance to total stud-like performance just as a result of this deep reprogramming at the subconscious level. So I tried it and I have to say I got nothing in spite of my positive expectations.
Right. Although those positive expectations were not entirely diminished because you later went and saw another hypnotherapist.
Yes.
But this time it was a live interaction.
Right. With a couple of hypnotherapists who have a lot of training, and their approach had been in person, but because of the pandemic, they switched to doing it through video chats. But the same approach, put on the blindfold, put on the headphones, lay down and relax. But he is able to customize the approach more than the stock recorded messages that I was listening to. And you're right. While I don't know how much effect they had on my ability to have erections when I want them, they did have a tremendous effect on my self-worth. Because when you talk about the psychological dimension of having an erection, there are lots of different things there. So one is faith in your body to respond. But another is, am I an attractive person? Do people find me to be a desirable sexual partner? So for someone like me, again, who's concerned with performing well in front of others, that's a big factor. And I would say this individual did a fantastic job of reprogramming at a deeply subconscious level my sense of my attractiveness. And that has stayed with me and I think is responsible for a revolution in my experience of the lifestyle in the last year.
Well, this just proves that your wife can say something for years, but a professional says it one time in a paid session and all of a sudden it changed you. Because you had been saying to me for a long time as we went through the lifestyle and had various struggles, I understand why you would be attracted to me. Because you'd say, I don't think I'm attractive. I'd be like, what are you talking about? I'm here with you. I'm attracted to you. And you'd say, I understand why you're attracted because I have great relationship potential. but I'm not 100% confident in my sexual potential or my sexual attractiveness. And I would just laugh, like, are you crazy? Like, look at your body. You have the most amazing musculature. You are, you know, when we first started 50, at this point 61, you are an older person with a much younger person's body. You have an amazing cock. You are intellectually interesting. You are a gentleman. You're compassionate. You're, you know, you're all the things women want. And I was saying this for years, but it didn't sink in for you. So there you go. I guess familiarity breeds contempt or something.
Well, there is another way of looking at it too, which is if you accept that this professional has some training about changing your self-perception, not at the surface level. So at the surface level, I was hearing your words and struggling to believe them. But his thesis is that there are deeply embedded scripts that are very powerful and whose messages are often self-defeating. And he is looking to break down the psychological defenses and get through to that deep level and rewrite the script. So I think he would say, yes, you were doing a wonderful job as a supportive partner to build me up. And I would say, your words have had a great effect once he went down to that level and actually changed the script that I was running in my head. But of course, I'm just guessing about this. It's all a mystery to me.
Yeah, because after that amazing breakthrough, you still had several steps in terms of like medical interventions to get your cock to work. So it wasn't quite fixed yet.
Right. And that's why I was so attracted to another approach. And it's known as somatic sex therapy. So this was something I encountered, I think maybe through an ad online. It was a female practitioner, and her approach is very hands-on. So it would look at some levels like visiting a massage parlor. So she has in her home a massage studio with a table and soothing music and the soft lighting. But her approach is to have a hands-on session to train the body, so at the somatic level, to respond in an authentic way to the touch of someone else who is not the partner. Because the circuit's advantage is that they don't come in with all the weight of a regular direct relationship. In fact, the fact that you're paying them is part of the therapy, because it says there's a distance here. You don't have to think about your overall relationship and how this sexual experience fits into that context. So again, I read all the testimonials, and of course they were glowing, and I went into that experience with great hope.
Yeah, that was a struggle for us, because you insisted that this was the key after all the other things that were supposed to be the key too. And I was a little uncomfortable with it, because you were going to go on your own, pay this woman money to, as it turned out, jerk you off. And so it really had resonances for me of your previous marriage, where you in fact did go to massage parlors and you did pay women to jerk you off, and it was part of your infidelity. So I wasn't super on board with this one. I said, if you're going to go for this kind of therapy, can I come? And maybe the first session we just sit down and have a conversation with this woman in a more like traditional therapeutic kind of way. And then if I feel comfortable with her and her approach, then you can go back for session two and have the hands-on stuff. But you were in a big rush, and this always seems to be the case. There's always some sort of impending, we're going to have a party, or we're going to go on vacation, or we're going to have a date with a couple. And it's at that point, within 24 hours before the event, that you get this real urgency to find the next solution, because I think you just freak yourself out. And so you had to go and have this session in the middle of the day when I was working, and it was just not possible for me to be involved. So it was one of many times where I felt like you were pushing through because there was this last minute procrastinator's freak out happening, and you cannot be talked down from that ledge. This has been the story from the beginning, right? It was exactly the same kind of situation the very first time when you were 40. 2 days before you met that woman to have an affair with her, you had this freak out and right. A panic, and were just willing to do whatever it took. And I've seen that in you several times.
Yeah, so there's actually no disagreeing with that. But that conversation we had brought up another factor for me, which was a kind of deep resentment that was there. So you're saying, I have concerns about this approach. Let's slow down. Let's let it be something that we do together. So a very reasonable statement.
Well, especially if you're going to go have a sexual encounter with another woman. And we as swingers have always agreed we'll do that together.
Right. But that's not what I'm hearing. I'm not hearing your very logical, very understandable concerns. What I'm hearing is someone who never has problems in sexual situations saying, oh, I have a concern with how you're going about solving this problem that you have that I don't have. And I felt resentment. I thought, yeah, so easy for you. You can take your time. You look like a superstar in every sexual situation we're in. And I'm constantly failing or trying to find a way to cover up my failing. So it was very self-pitying.
Well, also very one-sided, because you say you never have a problem in sex. And I'm sitting back feeling my own kind of resentment because I, in fact, sometimes do have a problem with sex. I very often struggle with libido. And I just lie back and, like I said, just throw that lube on there and you get to fuck me even if I'm not into it. And there's no drug for me. There's no gel. There's no injection. There's no pill. I just gotta fucking take it because we prioritize the erection of the man in a sexual situation. So if you aren't turned on, we can't have sex. If I'm not turned on, well, we're still having sex. So,
right.
So part of me too is feeling like, hey, must be nice for you to have all of these options to address your libido issue. Nobody's looking at me saying, hey, Kate, let me help you out with your libido issues. We're just throwing more lube at it.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I'm envious because I'm thinking I would gladly rub some gel on some part of my body if that would allow me to perform well in the situation. I'm not even thinking about pleasure. I'm thinking about non-embarrassment. I just want to be able to get through this experience. The idea of having an orgasm, that's never going to happen. I just want to not humiliate myself. So I'd be happy to do that. But I understand it. I hear you. What you're saying makes so much sense. We are just looking through completely different lenses at the same struggle that we're both having.
Well, and let's just pause here and address some of the language you're using.
Okay.
Because you're talking about not embarrassing yourself, mm-hmm. not feeling ashamed, having to perform. And I think we just need to correct the narrative here, because if you come into a situation in a lifestyle play session mm-hmm. without a hard-on, mm-hmm. you're not going to be humiliated. Like, I have played with a lot of people over the years, and I would say 60 to 70% of men have some sort of struggle at some point during a sexual encounter, and that does not feel like humiliation or embarrassment or shame from where I'm sitting on the side of the receiver.
Right.
That just feels like, oh, he's just taking a little break. That's so fine. You know, you've got a tongue, you've got fingers. Go ahead, like, give me oral for a few minutes. Or if you need to, you know, take a walk and get a drink or go to the washroom. Like, I do not care if the cock is not 100% hard 100% of the time. So on behalf of women in the lifestyle, can I just reassure the men out there that it's not a big deal? We are not sitting there, the majority of us women, and thinking, you are such a failure. Oh my God, what's wrong with your penis, right? Like, right. We're just like, okay, I'm in my body. I understand that I am not aroused 100% of the time. I have ebbs and flows to my sense of excitement and involvement in these things. And I understand that you guys have this, you know, visual representation of your level of involvement and arousal. And it's largely reflecting mine. Like, there are moments when I'm really hard, like, if I had a cock, I would be really hard and really into it,
right.
And really aroused. And then there are other moments where I'm just like, okay, this feels all right, but I'm not super excited right now. And I recognize that I'm just seeing the same thing reflected in your cock. It's not a big deal at all.
You know what? I have heard you say that many times, and that message has actually gotten through to me. I now accept it. But what I had to correct was a lifelong approach to every situation where I want to be the best in every possible way. So in a sexual situation, to be specific, I want to use my tongue and lips. I want to use my fingers. I want to be the most interesting conversationalist. I want to come across in all those ways, but I also want to have the hardest cock. So if we decide that we want to fuck, I'm there for it. The woman wants 30 minutes of fucking, 1.5 minutes of fucking, no problem. I'm your guy. So I was my own worst enemy in that regard, because as much as possible, and I am not unlimitedly talented in all areas of life, but as much as possible, I want to be all the things all the time.
Me too.
Yeah.
So after you pushed through Parliament the sex surrogacy thing, and you went and you had this stranger jerk you off for money, how did that work out, other than me freaking out a little bit with jealousy?
Yeah, the session itself was not great. I got in the weird headspace where I was determined to have an orgasm to validate her approach, to make her feel better, because I was not having a great time. But with grim determination, I had an orgasm with her.
How come it worked with her but not with other people in lifestyle situations? Don't you have that same kind of grim determination?
No, because she's a professional. So it literally took 30 minutes of jerking me off to get there. It was horrible. So the performer side of me would never put a female partner or a male partner through that strenuous level of effort.
She must have great arms, like great muscles.
Yeah, or maybe she applied for workers' comp immediately after. Anyway,
I got there and I hoped that she had done, like the hypnotist, some deep reprogramming, but this time of my body, not of my mind, in terms of response, thinking that she's a professional, she's been trained, she knows what she's doing. But I have to say, as far as I could tell, afterward, after all that struggle and conflict we went through, there was really no advantage.
Okay, so we've been through Viagra, Cialis, Yohimbine, testosterone gel, hypnosis, and surrogacy or somatic sex therapy. There was also some talk therapy in there.
Did you
go see, was he specifically a sex therapist or a relationship therapist?
Well, I saw three different practitioners along the way in that journey. Again, never giving up on the idea that there might be, in fact, that there probably was a psychological component to this struggle that I was having. I saw three different individuals with three different approaches, but I never got to the stage where I felt, something has been transformed inside my mind, inside of the mental framework that I bring to sexual situations. So the verdict on talk therapy, on sex therapy, was no.
And I went with you to one of those sessions.
Yes.
And the thing I found a little bit frustrating was, as I sat there and listened to you talk to this therapist, you were talking about all of the external things in the situation that were not working for you. So you talked about, you know, different things with the different women, how one woman had bad breath, another one was a strange kisser, in another situation there was a timing issue. And I heard all of these kind of blaming things, like it was always the woman's fault or the situation's fault. Mm-hmm. And I was frustrated because I thought, this is not actually where the locus of control is. You have control in your brain, no matter what people bring at you. And, you know, the consistent story here is it's not working. Your cock is not reacting. And there are lots of different things that you could point the finger at, but ultimately you are the constant among those variables, and you have control in your brain to a certain extent over how you approach these situations. So it was frustrating to hear that you weren't doing the internal work. You were just looking for patterns of things that worked for you externally and things that did not work externally. And I was like, that's not the most productive approach here. But, you know, and we had those conversations a lot where you would find at the end of a play session, it was this thing or that thing or this thing or that thing that didn't work. And I was like, no. It's in your head. It's in yourself. That's where you can control things. That's where you have power. So yeah, so that's where my frustration was with the therapy and then, you know, all of our conversations around this issue.
Right. But the problem is that you're always making a mediated intervention when you talk about any kind of talk therapy. Because guess what? The deep lizard brain, where our libido, where our sexuality resides, does not speak English. So what the therapist is doing is looking for a way to indirectly influence that part of our thinking. So I thought my responsibility is to be as open as possible, to share what I think the problem is, But that person's responsibility is also to listen to those things. And if they feel that that's excuse making, to challenge those perspectives and to break through to the deep brain and make a difference in how that part of us is interacting with our body systems. And I just have to say that none of those practitioners accomplish that.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, we should.
Okay. After the break, we're going to talk about the most shocking of the medical interventions that Liam has tried.
Yes, I really ratcheted things up. We're going to talk about shockwave therapy.
Eek.
Travel has always been a big part of our lifestyle experience, and we are taking part in a number of amazing events in 2023. First of all, with naughtygym.com at their Gatlinburg Smoky Mountains ski getaway in January, with room77life.com with their amazing Isla Mujeres hotel takeover in February. And then in May, we will be speaking at the latest incarnation of Podcastapalooza in Portland. And that is through Libertine Events. And that, unlike the other events, is not sold out yet. I believe there are a few rooms available for May 17th to 22nd.
And finally, we have our new brand, Sapio Tours. So we are launching our own travel company where we are going to take small groups of lifestyle people to culturally and historically interesting places, mostly in Europe. And our first trip is to Crete. So Crete is the largest of the Greek islands, and we will be there June 9th to 16th of 2023. We have a new website, sapiotours.com, specifically for our travel.
That's sapiotours.com, am I right?
That's right. And we'll also have information about all of these trips on our themonogamishmarriage.com website under upcoming events. So the next thing on your list of things to try was shockwave therapy. And I heard that and thought of the old movies in the, you know, the institutions where they shock people's brains. And I thought, oh my God, what are you doing? So can you explain what shockwave therapy is for real?
Yeah, the brand name of the approach that I use was called Gainswave. What it uses is a device directly applied to the penis that basically pummels it. Like, you know, those old style massages that you'd see applied to someone's back where the thing is vibrating in the hands of the practitioner.
Oh, yeah, like those hammers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a little jackhammer for your cock. And so it's basically the what doesn't kill you makes you stronger approach. You know, if you break a bone when you heal, it's stronger. So this idea was that if you stressed the penis, that new blood vessels would be created.
And oh, so, yeah, and you brought home a pump thing, right?
Yeah, so there were two aspects to the therapy, which is that they would do these sessions. I think they were once every 2 weeks. And on the daily, between sessions, you would use a pump to force more blood into the cock. And so...
How much did that hurt, Liam?
$3,000 was how much it hurt.
Seriously?
Yeah. So they would actually rub a numbing gel, or they would give me a numbing gel, and I would rub that onto my penis in advance of the session. So apparently it's unbearable without it. So the practitioner would come in and in a very antiseptic but chatty way, pummel my penis for, I don't know what it was, 10 to 20 minutes. And then I was supposed to use the penis pump in between.
So it was all just like physical hitting? There was no like ultrasound waves or electrical charges or anything?
No, as far as I can tell.
It was just punching it?
It was punching my cock for 10 to 20 minutes.
And you had to pay for this?
Yeah, I paid for it. Went to a very nice office. And again, I read all the testimonials. And were they glowing in terms of, you can throw away the Cialis and the Viagra. You're not going to need that anymore.
You know, the real message is you need to stop reading all these reviews because people are not going to post bad reviews on their own website.
I know. Oh, but I'm an optimist by nature. And it gets to that.
if you want to sell something.
Well, it gets to that business approach, right? From face creams to shampoos to exercise routines to diets, which is we are so ready to believe that we can be delivered from that thing we hate about ourselves that we will suspend our disbelief thinking that maybe this is the thing.
I think you need to say I, not we, because I am not the same way.
Okay, but there's an entire industry like this.
I've been skeptical of all of this shit.
There are way more people than just me open to this kind of messaging. Anyway, but I'm guilty, absolutely. And there are interventions that I have made in my life that have really delivered stunning results. Sometimes these things are what they say they are. So,
and was the shockwave therapy what it says it was?
No. They said, you know, after the first session, I think it was six sessions, that you would begin to see some results, maybe not after the first, but maybe second or third. And I just did not get that at all. I was just hurt. And in fact, I thought I saw a change in the look of my penis that wasn't a positive change.
Was it bruised?
No, it wasn't bruising. I felt like the texture of my penis changed. So now I'm saying this, and I realize
that I don't think that's true.
Well, I realize that whenever we do this podcast, we're also talking to potential future partners.
Right. And I'm thinking, people listen to this?
People listen to this and sometimes still want to have sex with us. And I'm always aware when I say something like that, like, oh, I was so interested in getting together with Kate and Liam, but then I found out that
he's got Liam's, a texture problem.
Yeah, that Liam's cock had been mangled by an ill-advised medical intervention. And I think I'd rather just be friends with them now. So,
okay,
so,
listeners, yeah, don't be scared. I am super judgmental, and I have not noticed any difference in the texture of your cock.
Well, thank you.
I have run my sensitive tongue all over it, and it's fine.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Okay, so let's go on.
Yes, so I met yet another disappointment. And they said at the end, we also recommend the pee shot. So what is the pee shot? It's not penis. It's platelet-rich plasma. So it's an intervention used in skin care, in hair regrowth, where they take blood from the individual, centrifuge it, isolate the healthy platelets, and then inject them in a concentrated form back into a specific body part. So they were recommending, hey, at the end of Gainswave therapy, add this for another $1,000 and you will have the best results imaginable.
Love the upsell.
Yeah, so I was, at the end of the pummeling process, not inspired enough to subject myself to a needle because, again, the last time I had had a needle, 20 years previous, I guess 18 years previous at this point, it had not gone well. So I left the Gainswave approach a dissatisfied customer.
Okay.
But it does remind one that, you know, we always hear things, this is effective in 50% of people or 60 or 90% of people. And when you get to 90, you think, that is fantastic. What a tremendous result. But that means 10% of people paid their money and got nothing out of it or were disappointed. So I have to say, in all of these situations, the fact that they did not work spectacularly for me may just mean that I'm among the percentage of people for whom it doesn't work.
And I would also say that it's not about the physicality. Like, your cock works. It works with me almost 100% of the time when you are not injecting things or pummeling things, right? Your cock works. There's nothing wrong with it. It's your brain that overrides the functioning of your body, which is totally fine. So many of these things are addressing physical problems that you just don't have. So of course they're not going to work.
But I did also have experience with non-medical interventions. So now I'm talking about diet and exercise. I embarked on a major change in 2018, which we're going to talk about on a future episode of the podcast, and made unbelievable changes in my body. And with every one of those alterations I made to my diet or to my exercise programs, I was always hopeful that there would be an impact on my erectile function.
Probably the most helpful thing that happened in that whole changing your diet was that you overcame a decades-long problem with anxiety.
Yes.
Surprise, surprise. And guess what? After that, things started to look up for you in the world of erections and the lifestyle.
Yes, they did. Not in the conclusive, it's just like I'm 17 again way that I had hoped for.
I don't get that either.
Right. But just like the quest to eliminate our dependence on fossil fuels, the solution isn't going to be one thing, but it's going to be a little bit of geothermal, a little bit of wind, a little bit of solar, a little bit of fusion. So I do believe that there can be cumulative results that together add up to something great. So I did see some changes, but of course, not enough to satisfy me because my expectations are beyond reasonable.
Press a button, have a hard cock.
Yeah, that's what I would like. So at this time, I was thinking, what can I do? And I did hear about people stacking medications. So stacking medications means, hey, if you use 20 milligrams of Cialis or if you use 100 milligrams of Viagra, what about 40 milligrams of Cialis or 200 milligrams of Viagra?
On top of the Cialis that you're taking daily.
Yes, just like all manner of combinations. Why don't you just try them?
That sounds like an awesome idea.
Thank you.
I'm sure your heart will love you for it.
Well, you know what? These medications are generally extremely safe. So again, I'm not a doctor or a pharmacist or even a science graduate from high school. So
high school.
Yeah. I did biology and that was it. So nothing about dissecting a frog prepared me to make the statements that I'm making now. But, you know, I started experimenting with just slightly higher doses, and where some people get headaches or an embarrassing level of flushing or nausea, I got none of those reactions. And I did notice that I responded better. So what happens generally in pharmaceutical studies is that they are looking at the average, that they can say, we recommend this dose. But of course, it's going to depend not only on your body mass, but also other elements of your unique body chemistry. So it made me feel like, yeah, I could try this. And I did have some more success.
But people, I'm begging you, please don't try anything just because I did. I am completely unqualified. I have a BA in English and philosophy. Try to remember, I'm telling you a story here, not handing out medical advice.
We should just take a second to tell people about the Crete trip because it is going to be the template for other events that we're organizing.
Crete is going to be from June 9th to 16th, and we are doing a full takeover of a 12-suite villa. We are organizing all the transportation to and from the airport, daily excursions, a private chef for meals for $4,100. So for less than what you would pay for Hedonism or Desire, you can go to Europe. So we have sold this trip out, but of course, there's always the potential that someone cancels. So if you're interested in that trip, let us know by emailing us at themonogamishmarriage@gmail.com or by filling in the contact information sheet on our sapiotours.com website. And our vision for future trips is that we are going to take a small curated group of intellectually curious, kind, intelligent, interesting, sex-positive people to different European destinations. We're looking ahead at maybe doing the grape harvest in Tuscany. We're looking at Portugal. We're looking at Sicily. So there are lots of possibilities in our future, but the one thing that will link it all together is this idea of culturally and historically interesting places where non-monogamous people can come together and learn things and experience some European culture, but also meet some sexy, like-minded folks.
Nothing prepared me for the message that I got one day at themonogamishmarriage@gmail.com, which is our main email address. And the message was from a longtime reader who responded to an article we had written where we talked about my erection struggles. And he said, I use a drug called alprostadil, which is injected directly into the shaft of the penis about 10 minutes before sex.
And I heard that and said, are you fucking crazy?
Well, I also had the experience from 20 years previous saying, I've tried that. I had that foisted on me by a medical professional, and it did not go well. In fact, it was the opposite of helpful. But he said a few things that were really interesting. He said, you know what? I use the needle, and it is so thin, I literally do not feel it sometimes. And so I thought, oh, that's interesting. He said he put it into the midpoint of the shaft. And as I remembered it, this person 20 years ago had put it right into the base. And I thought, maybe that's the problem. Maybe I just had an incompetent nurse administering the drug to me. And he said, the results are fantastic. I had the same concerns as you. Great performance with my wife, struggling all the time with other partners. And now I no longer have that. And the idea came to me again in my continuous optimism that there was the possibility that I could have a guaranteed erection in a lifestyle situation. And I have to say also that if they had said that needle needs to be put into the head of the penis, I would not have been able to do it. If they said that the needle has to be put into the testicles, I would not have been able to do it. But the shaft of the penis, I don't know if it's this way for every man, but for me, it's a strangely insensitive part of my anatomy. Like you can slap it back and forth and it actually just feels good.
I've done that.
Yes, you have. And yeah, thanks. Please do that again, actually. We haven't done that in a while. So I was suddenly open to this idea. And then a different future kind of presented itself to me. Imagine if I had a guaranteed erection in every sexual situation. That's where I encountered the study that said they had tried it on comatose cats. And I thought, wow, that's what I've been longing for. Something that even a comatose cat cannot resist. So I went to see a doctor who referred me to a urologist who wrote the script for albprostadil. And I was very open about our non-monogamy. And he was very happy to write me the script. And it came in a kit which required one to add bacteriostatic water to a powder, mix it very gently, and then inject it. And it was a single-use syringe that was preloaded. It was a little bit awkward, but not bad. And again, like so often, the very next week, we were going to get together with a couple with whom we had very high expectations. We were traveling to the other side of the country, not just to see them, but seeing them would be a part of it. So I did a test with you, and it was like choirs of angels sang as the heavens parted. It was like, this is what you've been waiting for, a completely non-voluntary erection that could not be held back by my own self-doubt. And so I used it with this couple, and even though my expectations were so high because they were so fantastic, my nervousness did not block the effectiveness of the medication. It worked great. And so I had suddenly a new sense of possibility. So I didn't want to not work on the psychological aspects anymore, but I knew that the physical was taken care of. And, you know, I think some people could say, you know, but wouldn't you prefer to have an authentic erection from actual arousal? And I would say definitely. But I also was tired of not being my best self with partners, of trying to avoid situations of sexual engagement with people I was sincerely attracted to and interested in as human beings. And now to know that if it involved using my fingers, I could do that. My tongue, I could do that. I could be the best conversationalist, the most interesting person possible. But if fucking was what we wanted to do, I would be able to do that for as long as the individual wanted. So I worked on my routine as we got together with people in different situations. And I was very fast. So one of the most common things in a sexual situation is just to excuse yourself and go to the washroom first, ostensibly to freshen up. But I had worked on my injection protocol to a fine degree of efficiency. So I was able to very quickly mix the medication, deliver the injection, do the massage, because you have to massage it into the tissues of the penis, and then have a more than serviceable erection for the duration of the sexual time together.
Yeah, so there were a couple times when you were gone for 7 to 10 minutes. And I remember one time someone asked, where'd Liam go?
Right.
So you found a way to make it even faster and more efficient.
Yes, because I'm the kind of person who likes to talk about these things. So I learned at some point in my journey not to be shy about it. So we've written about it extensively in our blog. And as part of my sharing, people would talk to me about solutions that they had encountered. So one that I became aware of is a combination called Trimix. So it's actually three drugs mixed into a single solution that is already mixed and is very, very effective. It was actually Mickey at Casual Swingers who, if you haven't encountered him, he's one of those people born to help others. The most helpful human being on planet Earth. So he said to me, yeah, sure, I'll share this with you. And because I was used to the injection, it was easy. He recommended a very conservative dose and it worked fantastically for me. So a bit of a struggle because it's only available in the US. We're Canadians. And so I actually had to order it to a post office box in the US, drive across the border, get it, smuggle it back like a cartel mule. But I pulled it off when I encountered the customs officer and it became a regular part of my arsenal. But then I became aware of even another injection approach, and it is a substance called PT-141 or bremelanotide. So it was originally developed to be an injectable source of tanning. So what? Yeah, so bremelanotide is the name. So melano for melanin, the pigmentation element in our skin cells. But they found out, as so often happens with these drugs, that, hey, we gave it to you to give you a better tan, and you got boners. So,
Oops.
Yeah. So I guess that's how a lot of medical science goes. Unintended consequences right. turn into time-honored solutions.
It's like Botox. It was a headache solution, and women were like, yes. Oh, my head looks so good.
Yeah. So I watched a lot of YouTube videos from people who seemed credible, and it seemed to finally address the issue of libido. So the molecule was attaching to a receptor in the hypothalamus, I believe, that would cause arousal and erections resulting from that arousal, not from a change in your blood chemistry. So it was more that authentic feeling that I was looking for.
Is this available for women?
It is. In fact, it's only approved in Canada for women. Yeah, it's an off-label use for men to use it in Canada. So I had to get a friend with a U.S. credit card to order it for me, our friend Jason in Detroit. And he's just like, again, one of these super helpful individuals. And he made that purchase for me, got it sent to a U.S. address. Another friend who had a U.S. post office box agreed to go over and pick it up for me. And it was strange. So I used PT-141 first at a low dose and medium and a high. And the first experience was really good. They had warned that nausea was a problem for some people, but it was claimed that if you took some Gravol in advance and maybe some Tums even, you would get through the first 30 minutes, which were kind of rough. And then after that, it was great. Now, when it would kick in, I heard people say 1 hour. I heard people say 3 hours. I heard people say 8 hours. But I used it for the first time before you and I went to a hockey game. So I'm a big hockey fan. If you don't know, we went to a Toronto Maple Leafs game. And I would say that watching this game, in which I was very, very engaged as a fan, I was erect for 60% of the match.
Okay, so we need some explanation about why the hell you would take an erectile libido drug before going to a hockey game.
Because we were going to see a couple that weekend, and I knew I had to experiment with this drug. I couldn't use it on stage for the first time. I had to rehearse with it first. So it worked out that the only time I really could do that was the day of this hockey game. So I was thrilled because I did not feel the nausea, and I did feel the erections, and they went on for like 12 hours. I'd just be sitting there watching TV. Whoops, there it is. Just like being 17 again. So I thought, this is the best. I'm going to use this. But then the nausea started to become a big problem.
Yeah, so we had a date with a couple mm-hmm. where we weren't sure if they were going to come back to our place after. So we right. went to dinner. You took the injection before dinner, and you got like 3 bites into your meal and said, I'm not feeling well. So you stopped eating, and thankfully they were too tired and they didn't come back to our place. But you got home and puked in the driveway.
Yeah, I couldn't even make it to the house. So I looked at what I might have done wrong. I made adjustments, but the nausea turned out to be a recurring problem with this drug.
Right. The next time you had a nausea problem, you were sick for 2 days.
Yeah.
It was like a flu.
Yeah, it was prohibitive. It was the kind of thing that would make you say, yeah, in spite of these erections, for which I would put up with almost anything, I cannot actually accept being sick to my stomach repeatedly.
Yeah, you can't puke on someone you're trying to impress.
Yeah, that is rock solid lifestyle advice, sweetie.
Thanks.
So what I did find, though, was that I could take a very low dose of that medication and use the Trimix, and the combination would take that Trimix erection, which might last for an hour or an hour and a half, which is great, and really give me a good 5 or 6 hours of recurring erections.
Okay, so hold on now.
Yes.
So you are taking daily Cialis.
Yes.
You are rubbing testosterone gel on yourself.
Yes.
And then there are two different injections, one right into your cock for physical erections.
Yep.
And then an injection into your abdomen for libido.
Right.
Do you see any, if there are doctors out there that are listening to this and
don't report me
and want to call in and tell us that Liam is going to die if he continues to do this, because that's my concern. Right. I just don't want you to die. And I would bet if you were to be super honest with one of these doctors, because you've gone to different places for all of these prescriptions, and I'm guessing you haven't been 100% honest with how you're using them and stacking them, I am afraid for your life. Is anyone else afraid for Liam's life?
Yeah. All of the medications I'm talking about, so the Cialis, the Trimix, the bremelanotide or PT-141, and the Androgel are all very safe.
Individually.
I know. I know. Even as I was saying it, I know the argument against what I'm doing. But I've tested them, and outside of the nausea issue, I am not having a problem, and I'm having what I longed for, which is, with a guaranteed erection, I am able to be my very best self with the partners we encounter in the lifestyle. Now, you must say that. There is a marked difference in me the last few months over what my experience had been in any of the 10 years before this.
Yes. So when you're stacking all the drugs and injections, it works for sure. But my concern is, in addition to you like blowing up your heart or something, having a stroke, it's that you're becoming dependent, whether that's psychologically or physically or a combination of the two, on all of these different interventions. And when it's just us in the quiet and privacy of our bedroom, there's not a lot of libido or desire or erection left for me. We're having less sex now than we have in the rest of our relationship. So, you know, you're 61 and it could just be that this is what naturally happens at this stage in your life. Your libido drops off, your erections drop off. But I can't help but wonder if there's a correlation between all of these drugs that you're using in certain situations, and then when those situations don't require you to use the drugs, can you still just authentically get turned on with your wife?
The commitment I've made within myself is that I would only use the same medications since I started down that path with you. So I do not use the injections with you because I share your concern that I just become dependent on that kind of supercharging effect. As for libido and connection, yes, it could be. You know, we're 11 years into our relationship. I am older. You are older, even. Mm-hmm. And so I feel happy because I have never been more in love with you. And we are still having sex. We had sex last night or the night before?
Two nights ago.
And it was really great. But we started from a place where we weren't super turned on. We just committed to the process. And the process turned out to be very satisfying for both of us. And I am so turned on by you. So last night, you were trying on dresses for a cruise. Is this too sexy? Is this one too transparent? Do my nipples show too much? So I love the fact that I am so turned on by you that probably the least sexual of situations, you're not touching me, you're not saying anything explicitly sexual, but the idea of other people seeing you in these sexy dresses was just turning me on like crazy. Makes me feel like, yeah, not only is our love still strong, but that sexual interest, for me at least, is still there at a high level. But how that works out in our day-to-day life is requiring some adjusting or maybe just some patience as we go through a bit of a lull. Did I convince you?
Nope.
You're terrible. That was a really good, well-put-together argument based on
facts.
They
always are.
Yeah. Anyway,
I would be interested to know the actual numbers. So you've continued to keep your spreadsheet with the numbers of, you know, times you've had sex and orgasms. It would be interesting to see, which I know you have access to, what actually are the numbers since you've been taking these injections and things. Just what does the science show? How is it actually working out in your overall sex life, not just in these fairly rare instances where we're meeting up with other people? So I don't know, what does it happen, like once or twice a month? What's it actually doing to your sex life?
Well, I can tell you the numbers. So we had sex in 2021, 176 times.
Okay.
So that's just under once every second day. And that was higher than the year before, by the way. But this year it was 139 times. So definitely less this year. But not lower than we were, interestingly, 3 years ago when it was 118 times. So it's so hard to tell from a scientific perspective when you look at numbers, what the variables are and what the confounding variables are. And so many of them, because they're psychological, relational, are hidden from us. So we do not get access to the kind of information that would be helpful. But if I look at the fundamentals, I believe our fundamentals are very, very strong right now as a couple.
Okay. Because it would make a lot of sense if you have this experience of your cock being rock solid and you're really turned on because you've taken all these injections. And then when you walk away from that situation feeling like, that's my ideal, that's where I want to be all the time. And then not having those injections and just coming at sex from a regular, you know, place might feel disappointing or not as satisfying as what you now believe is possible for yourself. So it's not just me worrying that you're going to become physically dependent. It's just that you're going to become addicted to this sense of, like, I don't know, youthfulness, like, you know, being in touch again with your 17-year-old self who could just get hard sitting on the couch or watching hockey. So how do you not want to have that all the time? So right. It's tricky to navigate. I want you to be successful in lifestyle situations. That is what I want for you. And it serves me as well, because I want us jointly to be successful. But I do worry that it's going to create some sort of dependence, or you're going to tell yourself that now every time we have sex, you're going to have all these needles. And it just feels like, oh God.
Right.
But when I was younger, nature provided me with the sexual capability, but it was up to me to be sensitive and empathic and giving and energetic. So now I'm getting that same boost I used to get with nature from a combination of chemicals, but it's still up to me to be giving and empathic and to earn the affection of the people that I want to be with. So medical science isn't helping me cheat in any way. It's really just putting me on a stage where it's up to me to deliver, and that's all I ever wanted.
Okay. But I just want to have an authentic connection with you. I just want you to be authentically aroused by me. I don't want there to be this artificial thing between us, but I can see how it would go that way.
So I don't know if I've shared this before, but in my 11 years in the lifestyle and now a year with using injections and having a lot of success in that way, I've only come 4 times with other partners. In 11 years, I've come 4 times with other partners. But I come all the time with you. So in a very real way, those experiences with you are better in the end, because I always have orgasms with you. I almost never have orgasms with other partners.
Okay.
Sweetie.
I think we need to wrap this up. This has gone quite long, but
yes.
You have had the most comprehensive journey I've ever heard of. You've literally tried everything. And if there's something he hasn't tried that you know of out there, please don't tell us. We don't need Liam stacking more drugs on top of all the drugs he's already taking, because I don't want him to die.
Okay. Is that your way of saying I love you?
Yes, I love you.
I love you, baby. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. If you want to keep in touch between podcasts, you can follow us on Twitter at monogamish1 for our joint account, or you can follow us separately. I am at Kate Monogamish on Twitter.
And I am at Landon_Liam on Twitter.
We're also both on Instagram.
We are.
And I am under The Monogamish Marriage, or you can just search for Kate Monogamish on Instagram.
Or Liam_VS_time. So that's Liam_time on Instagram.
So that's got to be more of The Monogamish Marriage than you could possibly want.
But if you want to check out our OnlyFans accounts, you can go to OnlyFans.com and search for either Kate Monogamish, all one word, or Liam_Landon. Thanks again for listening. We look forward to talking to you again soon.